Visit our website at BostonBastardBrigade.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew.
Become friends with us on MySpace at MySpace.com/BostonBastardBrigade, as well as on Facebook. You can even find our Twitter accounts on our official homepage.
And don't forget to check out our friends at the Electric Sisterhood at ESH.MOBI for another side of news and review, including their own glorious podcast show.
When the sisters are away, the bastards will play. It's time for the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Episode 114, Where Are All the Sharp Things? Bastards and wenches, please rise for the Boston National Anthem.
For Boston, for Boston.
Bastards and wenches, you may be seated, and welcome to another episode of a Boston Bastard Brigade. I am King Baby Duck.
I'm Anvil.
And joining us on this very special episode, once again, are those guys from the Vagabonds. We got Locke and 80.
Oh, well, sublime. We have cotton and candy.
Funny.
Hey,
funny.
Blue cotton candy, pink cotton candy.
For those that can't see it, me and 80 both have colored hair. Mine is blue and hers is pink.
Yep.
Not vice versa.
Wasn't it a different color the last time she was here?
No, no. It's always been pink.
It's always been pink.
Pay attention to details.
I always pay attention to details. It's just been a really long time since I've seen 80.
Maybe it was darker.
Maybe.
It's only been like 3-4 weeks.
No, it's been about a month or two.
3-4 weeks.
Yes.
3-4 weeks is about a month.
Well, I said it or two.
Mm-hmm. So my cousin's only been married. Hold on, let me go into my archive. I will be able to tell you the exact date.
As he finds that, we will continue on.
Locke and 80 went to the great New England Steampunk Exhibition this year, as they do every year. Tell us, how did that go?
Well, this was its first year. You're probably thinking of other conventions we go to, like World Steam Expo, so forth.
That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah. It actually went pretty well. 80, yeah. Want to talk about a few things?
It was a lot of fun. It reminded me kind of like World Steam Expo, so I think it did very good for its first year.
The thing, the hotel was actually a lot smaller than we expected because of all the conventions we've been to, but it was actually a lot better because we didn't have to do a lot of running around. We just stayed in one area. Our Aristelli table is actually right near our panel rooms, and we're right near the dealer's room, so if somebody needed to go and buy something or go check something out, they can go right to it, and the food is right near us too, so we just go right to the food if we're hungry.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Now, what are some of the events that you partook in this at this convention?
Oh, some of the events. Actually, we did do a lot of the events because we were busy with panels and our Aristelli table. But the ones we did go to some of the concerts.
Okay.
We missed Eli August's show that he did, which was done in one of the panel rooms, because at that current time, we had to run off and go back to the other hotel for some things.
Yep.
But it was the Expo Center itself was not a part of the convention center, so we had to walk across the street. Not across the street, but like up the hill. And go to it. Luckily, it was warm enough so we could do it. We went to go see Abney Park that night.
Yeah.
Who was really enjoyable. And the band that before that was Toy Soldier or something.
Yeah, I think it was Toy Soldier.
I can never remember their name, but they're a pretty large band. They do a lot of stage performances with their music. They have a couple like almost a burlesque.
It's like a Dresden Dolls type of feel.
Yeah,
but it was more of like grungier type of music. Almost like he was like singing more of a screamer type of voice.
Okay.
And they dressed really weird. Like, the lead singer actually had a dress on and a giant, what's that thing called?
Like the feather thing.
Yeah, the Chief's tribal helmet thingy.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Great New England Steampunk Exhibition. And it's funny because one of the first things that pops up is one of your steampunk contest videos.
Wow, that actually went pretty well for us, actually.
It did?
Yeah.
Did you find a winner for that?
Yes, we did. It was
Liam
Kendrick.
Yeah.
He picked to go next year instead of this year because it would be easier to save up for the next year, which is probably a better idea since this year was so smaller and next year it's going to be so much bigger.
Yep.
Anvil's
got a question. Yes.
September 2nd, which would be 1 month from tomorrow.
Really? It was September 2nd?
I looked it up because remember I left my cousin's wedding and came there, so I looked at the pictures of the wedding.
No, we didn't film that night because we were at
No, last time we all hung out.
Oh, last time we all hung out. Okay, never mind. That was like right around the corner.
See, so I told you 3 to 4 weeks.
Actually, about the convention, some of the panels we... Oh, wait, you found the panel name?
The Army of Broken Toys.
The Army of Broken Toys. They were entertaining, but the thing was, there was a all-ages show, kind of. But the thing is, they didn't show any, like, true nudity. They showed, like, that burlesque that had, the stickers over the nipples.
Well, be honest. Yeah. What would you be more afraid to show children, nudity or violence?
They were both in the show, actually. And so, like, yes. If you saw the show, they actually said, when they came upstairs, we missed this part, but I guess they said, I never did a human sacrifice before. Or they said, I never ate human flesh before. That was interesting. I was like, whoa, what did we miss? We were up in the green room at this time, so we didn't know what was happening. We were talking to Ebony Parker at that point.
Right.
So we kind of missed some stuff that was happening. We could hear the music where we were, though. Yeah.
So it would seem like you would be more concerned with human sacrifice and cannibalism than you would with seeing someone's tits.
Yeah, but there weren't that many kids in the audience, so it didn't really matter either way. And all those kids probably knew about it at that point anyhow.
Probably. They might have been fans of the band, so they probably knew what
they were. They weren't bad, though. They weren't bad.
What are those?
Nothing. Don't worry. Just don't look. Why is the girl in a deep voice?
And Mom, what's that thing in her throat? Am I going to get one of those?
Yes. Sure, yeah.
Eventually,
yeah.
Yes. Eventually you'll grow, one.
Actually,
that is called an Adam's apple, and women usually aren't supposed to have that unless they're Ann Coulter.
We have lots of people for the show.
Bum, bum, bum.
Actually, our panels went pretty good for that.
Tell us about what you talked about at the panels.
Actually, that's a lot easier than you think. I actually have the panel list right here on my phone.
No.
Oh, yes.
Somebody play Jeopardy.
See, I have it up right now. It's continuing, and I'm just letting them talk because it makes it easier.
Hey, it's 30 seconds, man.
Each day we had 3 panels. But oddly enough, the first day, our panels are so spread apart that it was actually really good.
That's good.
It wasn't like the other days, all our panels almost ran after one another. We...
So it's not like you had to go, oh, I gotta hurry for this one. Oh, I gotta hurry for that one.
Like I said, all the panels were right next to each other, so we went one to the other with each. So it wasn't like a big jump for us.
So it was a lot easier than it was at Anime Boston.
Oh my god, Anime Boston ran around like crazy. Even at Kinetic Con, Kinetic Con was technically the same because workshops are on one side and panels on the other, so it was actually easier to get to them.
Mm-hmm.
And there's fewer panel rooms, so it didn't take us forever to find each panel.
Right.
But the panels we had on each day were actually kind of spread out there. Like, the first one we did was at 12 o'clock with Cyberpunk versus Steampunk, which actually supposed to say Cyberpunk and Steampunk, a comparison.
Yep. That's always been, like the sort of big argument, which is better, Steampunk or
Cyberpunk. Yeah, that's why we didn't have it first. We had to have and Steampunk a comparison, because we're not really saying one is better than the other. We're saying that the similarities and, like, the differences.
Yeah.
So it kind of worked out. But we might be saving that panel for a while. We're going to not do it at conventions for a bit. We're going to rework out some of the details. Because of this con, we realized that we need to fix some of the details that we're working on, doing this, that, having more. If we're going to have a slideshow, have a better slideshow. If we're going to have pictures, have, like, a board has pictures on them. Mm-hmm. Same with Steam Riders from the East. Like, we talk about so many things on that a lot of people question what they look like, what we're talking about. So if we have a slideshow, but we didn't have a thing to have, like, projector to show them. So that's why we're thinking about actually integrating a flip book thing almost, so people can actually see what we're talking about.
Okay.
And we have things to pass around so people can actually see the things we're talking about.
Now, here's an idea. I don't know if anyone's ever thought of this, but doing the Steampunk versus Cyberpunk in a similar style to what Anime Boston does with the battle chess.
You don't want a chess game? No, see, that's the discussion. All our panels are almost discussions where we actually talk about things, and then we have people join in and add their little tidbits, which are really bad Anime Boston with Cyberpunk versus Steampunk, or Cyberpunk and Steampunk, because we had arguments happen during that convention. The Great New England, we had no problems. Like, everybody listened, given we had small groups for both the panels,
well,
Steam Rescue's had a big...
Remember the average age group that shows up to Anime Boston now is kind of...
No, it's up high. It was the older people that are...
Really?
Yeah, it's because they were saying there were majors and subjects. But Great New England, we didn't have that problem. But our best panel of the day, actually, was Gizmos, Gadgets, and Doodads. Which, Anvil here knows that I work on props, and that's basically what it's about. Props that we design and build in our techniques of doing them.
You were telling me about the mask that you're working on right
yes,
now.
Yes, actually, if those that don't know what this is, please look it up. It's called the Plague Doctor Mask. And at back in the... I forget what century it was.
The Assassin's Creed era.
Yes.
Well, that's actually inaccurate, the Assassin's Creed era.
So. For those of you who have ever seen a movie called The Imaginarium with Dr. Parnassus, the mask that Heath Ledger wears...
No, that's not it. That's completely... That's another mask altogether.
Because it has a long beak and everything, just like it.
Yeah, that's actually... The nose is designed differently. It's actually based off a play where the person wears the mask, and I call it the fool mask.
Oh, okay.
But that's not the correct thing, so do not quote me on that. But it's close to that, actually. If they want to look it up, look at Plague Doctor Mask. And it's what the doctors used at the time period. It's a full-beaked mask where they had herbs inside the beak. It was almost like a gas mask at the time.
Okay.
And they would actually use it so they can go around where the Black Plague was happening and all the problems at the time, all the plagues and diseases, so they wouldn't be infected by them. Okay. And they go to people's houses. Think of that wall to your house, like a beaked guy coming to your house wearing pure black or whatever color they were, with their bag, saying, okay, who's going to die? I don't want to die. But back then, it wasn't really a problem. I seen some dolls back then that actually were really, really, really creepy looking. And I'm like, back then, they wouldn't even think those were creepy. They would carry them around, and these are the most awesome things in the world, because the craftsmanship was really good back then, but sometimes people didn't have the money to pay for things like that.
Yeah.
Now, what kind of herbs do they carry in that nose?
Wow, that's actually a hard question, because it comes from the situation. I think those herbs basically... to protect them from actually being infected by the plague, like
rosemary,
possibly, and other. I can't think of the herbs.
Marijuana,
lavender. I think was one of my. She looked it up too.
I don't think marijuana
could have been.
Actually, he could have a point there, honestly, because marijuana is actually it has many different plants that are in the family. Wormwood's one of the plants that are in the family, and that's actually used in some medicines.
Yeah,
and
as it is today.
On the second day, though, for the panels that we did. Moving on.
So I'm just going to move on right now, because he just hit me with a hard question right there.
What was the question?
What type of herbs?
Oh, now he's looking it up. So the next day, we had Steampunk Review, character building, and who are the Vagabonds. Steampunk Review, we had no one go to it. It was 11 a.m. anyhow. Everybody was still getting up, and some people had a
hangover.
Come from another hotel and so forth. So it made a lot. It was a smaller group. We had Eversaurus from the person that wrote The Sky Pirates of Alderaan, which is a really good comic book that people should pick up. It's steampunk influenced and pirate influenced. Blah, 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 blah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That one, we basically went away from Steampunk Review. We just like had a discussion. People just talked because no one was there. We had like two people that came.
Those were the best, though, the laid back kinds.
Yeah, but that was kind of, we had two people leave. They were like, this is, you're jumping around, because we let Ever talk the most, because we're like, 11 a.m. in the morning, let him talk, he can talk. But the two other panels, character building and World of Vagabonds, were amazing. They were so great. We had, on the character building, we had the MHS Hysteria join us. Basically, we had the whole group come. We had Littleton, Captain Edward, and we had Oft Manor come, and they gave their insight on their character building, what they use to create their characters. We helped a lot of people in the audience. And also, our Warner members, Vex, had a lot of insight, surprisingly, which kind of surprised us, because he learned a lot from the night before. He said an in-character social, where everybody went into a room and gathered, and they all drank, kind of. And
you walk into the room, and all you can it's like much hotter than the hallway, and all you can smell is alcohol.
Yes!
But
where was I?
That's people that brought alcohol in the room themselves for themselves.
Was that him?
Basically,
yeah, Vex brought for himself.
You mean stuff like the Kraken?
No, the Kraken wasn't there. No, yes, it was. It was actually there. Somebody brought it, and somebody else drank it. So they lost their Kraken. No, I wasn't drinking that night.
Was I there?
I had to stay in right mind for other reasons. But the character milling went pretty well, and a lot of people got more insight. Some people were kind of lost, because they were like, how do we create our characters? Like, we explained to them in many details. So
it's called using your imagination.
I think they expect us to actually create their characters for them.
Oh,
that's
I see.
That's what I think they expected. So we actually did help them try to create their characters from what they were wearing. And it did help. But some of them didn't seem like they liked the ideas. Like, come on, you're dressed like a mechanic. What do you expect?
Mm-hmm.
You're either going to get a mechanic? Actually, I think we had some in the audience that kind of expected that. Somebody was dressed as Alice. And expected to be called Alice. And we're like saying that's kind of like a broad statement.
Yes.
In it. Like, how many people are dressed like you this weekend?
that are called Alice.
Yeah, it's like you can create a character that's offbeat of Alice saying that you traveled the world and that people called you Alice and something like that.
But your real name would be something like Guinevere.
Yeah, but they'll call you Alice when you go to
Guinevere. I'm going to call you Bob.
Which happened in a scenario of a different story where somebody says, my name's not Alice. And it was called something completely different.
Right.
Bob. And our last panel, Horror of the Vagabonds, was actually in a long time since we actually done a panel where actually we got to act fully in character and be and tell our stories. So it's basically like an in-character vlog where we told stories about about what some of our travels and our and who we are and about the ship itself.
Right.
And the last day, all the panels were basically pretty good. Steampunk in the Now, Thrifty Steampunk, and Monster Survivor 101. Steampunk in the Now and Thrifty Steampunk, we basically talked about like current statements of in the media, things that are happening, different conventions, like TeslaCon that's coming up.
Okay.
And Thrifty Steampunk is basically talking about how to create your outfit if you want to create an outfit on the cheap. Okay. And then Monster Survival is basically about how to survive monster attacks like werewolves, vampires, zombies.
Anvil.
Yeah.
That was basically all the panels we did.
Now, as you're someone that builds props, like what if this convention impressed you the most? Seeing people carrying around or what they were wearing.
Oh, wow. One person actually made their segue into a... It was a segue, correct?
Yeah.
It was made into a... Like a train, a steam engine. Like the whole front of it was designed with like a steam engine, but they had these like pistons on it and stuff like that. It made it work really well. You're not going to find a picture of it.
There's a couple similar ones.
No, none of those. None of those. They didn't have pictures of it. They press it. You had to check really hard to find it. Is that it? Oh, that's it, actually. Yeah, he found it.
You will not find it. Hey,
you
will
find it that easily. Yeah, he found it.
He had it at Dragon Con last year.
Yeah, so he travels around with it. It's actually pretty impressive.
I'm not that impressed.
If you saw the front of it, you'll be more impressed. But
R.I.D. impressed.
But it was actually pretty cool. But that was one of the better things. I saw a bunch of stuff, but it's hard to kind of get it in my mind what it was actually was.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a bunch of big groups there. Well, kind of big groups. It was about a lot of local groups. One of the bigger groups, one of the Legion, was there. And they were pretty enjoyable. All their panels and Emperor's panels were amazing. Like
the Legion's puppet show.
The Legion puppet show was just hilarious.
What is this puppet show you speak of?
They were literally doing... They made puppets. Yes. Literal puppets. And they each of the characters, they do a show based after their characters in puppet form. Children, they have a children's show, then they have a more of an adult show, but it's all kind of kiddish. And
so
like, it was a tongue-in-cheek kiddish show.
So, like, the original Pee Wee Herman show of sorts.
No, no, the, don't, minus not, the other not those driving puppets, themselves. So, like, they're hand puppets.
Oh, okay. But so, was, like, Potter Puppet Pals. Yes.
Yeah, there was like that, but not the stick ones. It's actually, they put their hands inside.
Oh, so, like, Muppet version of sorts.
Yeah, Muppet. Closer to Muppet, yeah. But it was real enjoyable. By the Five Emperors, I recommend people to go see this. What?
Nothing.
It was actually really cool because what he did was he created a, his character actually has five personalities, it appears. And they talk about that each one has a different outlook on things. They're all basically crazy. The fifth one is the most craziest.
Yep.
They actually had to have him connected by a chain to hold him down.
I think Animal's trying to kidnap the 80.
That's normal. But I recommend people to see that because the show itself will be amazing. We didn't get to see a lot of the actual shows in the Expo Center because we're usually busy at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of them, like they had a bunch of different shows, which you got they can look up themselves if they want to check it out.
Now next year they're going to be moving it to Connecticut.
Yes, the Hartford Convention Center in Hartford, Connecticut,
which is going to be a much bigger venue than it was at this one.
I think it's the Hartford Convention Center. I can never remember the name of it.
It is. I'm pretty sure.
She's like answering while trying to move away. She's like, he's going to tickle me.
The hotel itself is a lot better and actually fits the steampunk feel a lot better.
Yeah, Connecticut Convention Center.
Close enough, yeah.
The CCC.
Yeah.
Hey, watch your language.
They might actually be starting to sell tickets soon, so I recommend...
They said January.
They might do it December now, early submission tickets.
Ooh.
Which I recommend people to actually check out.
Very Houston.
So yeah, that's terrific that all went well. Now, which conventions are you going to be going to next?
Well, not just the conventions. We're actually going to the... If anybody's curious, the Zombie Walk is on this weekend coming up. Next weekend coming up on the 8th.
Mm-hmm.
And I recommend everybody to check it out, the Salem Zombie Walk, for those that are local. And we will be there. Well, a couple of us will be there going to it. And yeah. there's basically we're going to be steampunk zombie hunters, which kind of fits our characters as it is.
Cool.
And if it's ready by then, I'm bringing my giant drill, which will be spinning.
Yes.
It's really lightweight, so it's not going to cause me any problems.
I'm thinking about doing it, but I'm not sure yet.
Well, it is. It's an all-day event, so.
But I know you can can come and go as you please as well.
Yeah, but it's a walk around, so you have to catch the group if you come late.
Of course.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be easy. It should be hard to find.
Yeah, they.
There's finally guys going.
They already have the group listed. They already have the group listed too. But that's the next thing we're doing. But after that, we're going to either AAC, which is in New Hampshire. That's if we can get the funds up in time.
Okay.
Or we have a hotel room for it, but we don't have the tickets. Wow, that was felt weird.
But, I thought you were going to like throw up over everything. I'm like, but, I was about to self, save Edie as well. You know,
after that,
he throws up a bunch of gears and bolts. So steampunk vomit.
So that's where they went. Okay.
It's like there's that mega hydraulic spring I was looking for.
After there's that, my tiny little Tesla coil.
Oh crap! That's why it hurt so much. After that, we're actually going to TeslaCon, which actually we're excited for. Sadly, the tickets are already sold. They're sold out completely of tickets. They said they might let a few more slip, but that's unlikely. They reached their cap of what they wanted for this year, but that convention, if you want to go next year, which is surprisingly what I'm hearing from it, it's really immersive. It's an immersion convention where you actually get an acting character. Everybody around you is in character. Everything happens within a setting. This year it's on a submarine. Next year, I'm not allowed to, supposed to say what's happened next year, but when they release it, you get to check it out. You'll be most excited to see this.
Wait, now I want to know.
I'll tell you guys later.
Okay.
If I'm allowed.
Yeah.
You're allowed as long as we're not recording.
And as long as you guys don't
explode it.
Yeah.
Oh, see. I know way too many people that do that. Yeah.
Good take place in a giant pirate ship!
All of us giant athletes, we all go to those.
Go to what?
Tesla cons. You didn't know that? You've never seen us run around full caution with the helmet?
I think Anvil's lost it finally. Too many blows to the head.
Probably. That's been a long time coming.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, listen, I've only had a couple concussions and get punched and kicked in the head in fights all the time. And occasional kneeing.
So, speaking of which, let's move into
spoilers. No segueing! You cannot use me as a segue again.
Too late.
Yeah, too late. Steampunk segue.
Dude, that's like 6 weeks in a row you use something I do to segue into something.
Well, you like make it so perfect. It works.
He had one show, he used it four times. I'm like, what?
I think you purposely do it like saying hint.
No,
That's not wink, wink, say no more.
I was making a joke about something one week, and he jumped from the top of the thing to the bottom just to use this.
How about this? Zombies! Oh, here we go. He skipped everything.
Yeah, if we the whole zombie talk, I'm surprised he didn't jump into the video games from that.
Oh, for sports.
So, yes, sports. Speaking of which, what sort of steampunk sports do you enjoy mostly?
Quidditch.
That doesn't count.
Actually,
because it doesn't really work.
Actually, they're having the World Quidditch Cups in New York City this year.
Mm-hmm.
No, I swear. Like, I'll bet $1 million right now.
By the way, he is looking it up. We're not doubting Anvil Hill here, but you never know.
No, apparently it's all played on the ground. Oh. Somebody explain this to me. There's no flying. It's all played on the
ground. Quidditch World Cup.
Thank you. New York City, baby.
Actually, it's funny. I don't think there are any steampunk? Where is my mind going?
You have a really bad issue if you're right. Steampunk.
We got University of Maryland, Fishers, Indiana, New York Comic Con, Philadelphia, Middlebury College in Vermont, Ottawa, and then there's the Quidditch World Cup, which will be held in, as he has said correctly, New York City! And how he knows that, I have no idea.
Actually, one of my coworkers is a huge fan and told me about it. Like, literally, they told me Thursday night.
I don't doubt that now. I honestly don't doubt that his coworkers are more weird than we are.
Actually, it's just this little old lady that we work with, which is really strange.
That's even more creepy, by the way.
Expecto Patronum!
And for the rest of the show, he will not be talking.
Duct tape! I mean, sorry. Steampunk, duct tape. Same thing.
I think it'd be more golden. Or rustier. Rustier duct tape.
I think it would just be bolts in metal.
Bolt your mouth shut.
Screw you.
Why do I actually see you doing that?
All right.
But sports.
So I want to start sports off with a congratulations. I want to congratulate one of my former Bandit teammates, Terrence Pennington, who was actually a Lawrence police officer with their ESU unit. Yesterday he was inducted into the, well, he was elected into the NEFL Hall of Fame. So I want to congratulate him. You know, he was a good friend of mine. Yeah, we played, you know, a few good years together. We retired a couple years back to concentrate on his law enforcement job, and yesterday he was elected into the Hall of Fame.
Oh, wow.
Awesome.
So congratulations, Terrence. You know, I mean, when I read it, you know, I made sure to message him right away because, you know, he's a good guy, and he truly deserves it. Well, the duck makes some really weird faces. I think he's constipated right now.
Oh my god, what are you looking at?
It's a tattoo of Gurr from 8 from Invader Zim doing something really naughty to Hello Kitty.
Hey, he's taking Hello Kitty doggy style. Who let the dogs out?
What site are you on?
This is Johan. This is the creator of Invader Zim, but I was trying to find this.
Oh my god.
That's like a steampunk duct tape right there.
No, dude, it's too late. You're, you know, like,
I know.
He just ruined my sports segment.
Fine, let's continue with sports.
No, because it's like, I have to get into depressing stuff, and now I feel like laughing.
Why is this written on the sheet saying, make sure Anvil screws up, interrupt his sports segment as many times as possible.
I know. So he can't talk.
Yeah, we're not allowed to see these.
But it's not written in my blood. Whose is it?
It's reading a feces.
Who is
it? Hey. I'm not touching this anymore!
Duck, why is your finger brown?
Mine's not brown. See?
You just licked it off. That's kind of...
Dude, that's all over your teeth! Hey, you have fly chilling out there now.
I think it's actually pudding. It doesn't smell like feces.
Mmm, yeah. Cookies and cream pudding, that's right. Yeah. I was eating pudding while making these notes. My bad. But I can't really explain the blood, though.
Why do you have a knife at the table, by the way? I always question that. I think that was jam. But I guess I was wrong.
Who eats jam? Are you
This is jelly country!
Listen, punk. No fruit goes on my toast.
How about preservatives? There we go!
Preservatives!
See you later. I'm done. Nice meeting you guys!
Peanut butter only, bitch.
So, continuing back on sports. I'm not a sports guy personally, but I'm sure you have enough to say to cover our asses. I mean, but we can swear, right?
Yes.
Fuck. I'm done.
Okay.
Now he, you know, when he ended, he's like, "Can I swear?" Yeah, sure. Gone. Okay, so I got rough news in sports.
Yeah,
I'm gonna start with the least rough. Patriots lost last week, 34-31, to the Buffalo Bills.
Didn't the Red Sox lose?
Hey, we're not... Damn, you're not supposed to follow the blood rules? You're not supposed to interrupt me, too?
Actually, it says, make sure Locke does it as much as possible, too. And if Locke's allowed to, throw things at Anvil.
And it also says, let AD just stay adorable.
Wait. Yeah. And it also says, if Locke throws things at Anvil, Anvil gets to keep eating.
Don't do it!
I actually just say that.
Yeah. Yes!
I haven't thrown anything at you yet.
Hi.
All right.
That was failure of the 10th degree.
I'm going to tell the story. So, I just grabbed her chair and pulled her clean across the floor. And next to me, Locke grabs it and yanks, and he struggled to even get it to budge.
But I got it to budge afterwards. I grabbed the wrong spot. I wish we had video for this one.
Man, sadly, Polonic isn't here.
I'm in the wrong spot, see?
I got from the bottom.
That's where I grabbed it when I dragged it all the way over. Now I just grabbed it from the top.
Okay, I think we're done with this.
All right. Tom Brady, he looked a little shoddy. He threw 4 interceptions, but he still threw for just under 400 yards.
Yep. Continuing along with the streak.
Of course, I mean, but we'll see what happens. We've got the Oakland Raiders this week, which means we'll be facing our old friend Richard Seymour. And no, his last name is not Butts.
Why did you know I was thinking that?
I can tell by the look on your face, and I've known you long enough. So, let's get to the harder news.
Yep.
Game 162, Boston Red Sox versus Baltimore Orioles, Tampa Bay Rays versus New York Yankees. If we win and they lose, we're in the playoffs. We lose, they win, they're in the playoffs. Both teams win, both teams lose, we're going to game 163. One game playoff. So I'm sitting there watching the game. The Red Sox are up 4-3. And we go into a 2.5 hour rain delay. But I also look over at the Yankee score. Yankees are winning 7-0. I'm like, oh. Yes, I did do the dance. It's okay.
So then, the Yankees played
the Rays. We need the Yankees to win.
But.
Wait, I'm getting
I was going to say.
Eighth inning rolls around. Score is 7-0. The Rays put up 6 in the eighth.
Lightning strikes.
Shh. Not done yet. Do you see this?
Mm-hmm. He does it all the time.
You realize I get to keep her if you keep this up.
That's if I throw things at you. I haven't thrown a single thing at you yet.
What? He threw paper!
He threw scissors.
Oh, yeah, that's it. Luckily, you only caught it in the face. That could have been horrible. So, they score 6 in the 8th. 9th inning comes. Everybody's waiting to hear Enter Sandman. But it doesn't happen. Wait, why isn't Mariano Rivera up? Bring in the greatest closer in baseball history. Give the Yankees a win. Give the Sox a chance. They bring in some bum. 2 outs in the 9th. 2 strikes. And what happens? Swing of the bat. Long line drive. Home run. Game is tied. Sox fans are crying. Game starts. Excuse me. Really? I'm trying to be dramatic here.
Okay, fine.
Thank you. Red Sox game starts up again. We're watching this happen. Sox come back. They start playing again. 9th inning. Papelbon comes in. Out. 2 outs in the 9th. Shoot, but quickly back over to the Yankees. 13th inning. Tied game. Sorry, 12th inning. Tied game. Evan Longoria is up again. Now, in the 8th, he hit a 3-run homer. He turns on a pitch from Scott Proctor.
You wish him goes down.
Which, of course, Proctor, we all know, has the same name as that loser from Police Academy. Well, in baseball, he's a loser, too. The ball is going. Walk-off home run for the Rays. Red Sox need a win to finish it. Shoot straight back to the Red Sox. I know. These two have no clue about sports, and they're like on the edge of their seats.
Well, because I wanted to say what I was going to say after you said what's going to happen next.
Papelbon gives up a double. Then another hit. Tying run comes across. Next batter. Hits it. 2 outs. Guy's coming home. Crawford's running in. But it wasn't even a full run. He misses a shoestring catch. He's off target going home. Red Sox lose in walk-off fashion. Our season is over.
But, continue with the other team now.
I already ended the game.
No, you didn't end it.
Yeah, I said that Longoria hit the walk-off home run.
Oh, yes. I would mention.
And then, yesterday, at approximately 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the Red Sox announced Terry Francona will no longer be the manager of the Boston Red Sox. After 8 years, 5 playoff appearances, and 2 World Series championships. It is a great loss to baseball and the Boston Red Sox.
This was the guy who gave us 2 championships.
I just said that.
We never thought that would actually happen.
We have taps playing. You have to be quiet when you talk.
It's not playing anymore.
But the New York and Tampa Bay, was it?
Yes.
My brother was actually saying, because he was watching the game, he's a big sports fan. He said it seemed like that the New York let them win.
It looked like they laid down.
Yeah, that's really when I heard that, I was like, wait, so that means they're playing, because he didn't tell me that the Red Sox lost. Yes. So I was like, that means the Red Sox are playing Tampa Bay. He's like, no. As soon as the Red Sox lost,
It was over.
It was over, and basically New York got the win.
Because New York was already in for playoffs.
Who is the Tampa Bay playing now?
They're playing Texas. They beat them last night 9-0.
How long has it been since the Tampa Bay has made it to the...
They were in last year.
They were in last year, too. Yeah. Maybe that's why. I mean, it's like, if New York let them do this, like, if they just threw the game, that means that they're in a way, it's like kind of... Did they put money on this or something? Because that's what it sounds like. Because why would a team give up a chance to go to the World Series and all that?
Right. Well, it's to keep the Red Sox out. Remember, Red Sox, Yankees, biggest rivalry in sports history.
That is true.
If they laid down, that would have just eliminated the Red Sox had they lost, which they did. So they knew going into it, if they had done this, they knew that they were already going to be going into the playoffs already. So it's not like they had anything to lose at all. So they lay down, Tampa Bay wins, and then Red Sox lose.
Kicks
them out. Keeps the rivalry from fighting again, as they usually do.
I would rather see the two teams play against each other, though.
A lot of people do want that to happen, but I just don't think the Yankees wanted that to happen this year. Because sometimes the Yankees will wind up losing it. So, yeah.
Now, how do you feel about Terry Francona?
Okay. It looked as if he's had enough with the Red Sox. It feels like he didn't get the proper... He hasn't been getting the proper respect that the players used to give him in a while. I think he's had enough.
Well, we also don't know what's happening behind the scenes either. He could be completely different than he was before.
Right.
Honestly, that could be one of the reasons why they don't respect him so much. Maybe he's doing stuff that he's not supposed to be doing. But then again, I don't want to get into this because I don't really look into it as much as you guys
I feel like... There are some players on the Red Sox that should be getting rid of because we need new blood. We need new blood on the Red Sox.
We're not having this discussion.
We've had the discussion before the show. There are some players that should be let go or traded off because they're not pulling their weight like they used to.
That happens a lot with the Red Sox, I realize. A lot of the players, when they start getting that fame, they go downhill because they have that fame. They know if they lose something, they still have that fame no matter what. That's what it seems like. You guys know all the players I'm talking about that happened to. They either got traded out to another team or they did some other things afterwards.
Sorry.
Wow, you knew what I was talking about.
I had a really bad, sneeze coming in.
Yes.
Well, his sneezes tell the truth.
Truthfully, it's like a steroid sneeze right there.
A true steroid sneeze.
Oh, a chapstick in my pocket.
Is it chapstick in your pocket, or are you just happy to see us?
No, that's a flashlight. I have an extra big flashlight in my pocket.
Big. It looks like a mini mag.
It's kind of like how, remember that skit on All That with Bag and Sag and Barry? He just had everything in there. That's kind of like how Locke is.
And I'm wearing real pretty tight pants. So it's kind of interesting.
We don't want to have that conversation about you and your skinny jeans.
I don't suppose you have an airplane down there. Why does he do that? It's all in the pants.
My skinny jeans pack everything except for my junk.
Yeah, it's kind of tight down there.
Hey, little people can wear little pants. It's okay.
So, anything else going on in the sports world? Like, what's going on with MMA?
Well, what about Quidditch?
Well, in MMA,
no one could see his face, but he gave the most evil look I ever seen from him, and I've known him for a
long time,
10 years or
about
more.
That, yeah. Wait, what'd you ask me about again?
Quidditch, but that was a joke to see.
Pretty
your face.
Quidditch, huh? Yeah, locked.
How'd you miss?
Well, I'm shooting from underneath the table.
Really, like. Honestly, like, that was close. I think you did get my shirt. That cost money. Okay, you got my arm. I'll shut up now. Good night, guys.
That actually looked like it really hurt when he smacked his head there.
I'm dead, okay?
Hey, Zombieland rule.
Double tap.
Unfortunately, I forgot how to count.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So, what we were saying about MMA stuff.
Matrix.
Fights happen. People fight. In a cage.
Actually, how about Justin David Frank, how we were talking about him earlier. I just found today he was a cage fighter.
Really?
For those that don't know who that is, that's Tommy from the Power Rangers. I did not know that, but he became a cage fighter.
He was the green and Caucasian Power Ranger.
And then he became the White Ranger.
Caucasian. Oh. We're being politically correct.
Oh, okay.
Just like Zach was the African American Ranger. Literally and figuratively.
Oh my god. That's my... Don't worry. Okay. I'm not playing footsies with you.
Lock and duck. Yeah, I got you. It's okay.
Why'd your wallet get in?
I'll protect you.
I put it in there.
What is it you're pulling out of 80?
Playing cards.
Playing cards.
Are they steam?
I should pull these out when he was doing sports.
Yeah. Playing solitaire.
Okay, so when you're done.
Imagine if solitaire became an Olympic sport and people who love skateboarding were just still waiting for that to happen.
All right, we can move on now.
Okay, go ahead. So, shall we move on to music?
Sure.
So, this past week, the 2012 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominees were announced.
Am I on there?
You're not a musician.
I used to be in middle school.
Did you release an album?
Yes.
Did you release an album that got a label?
No. Yes.
Did you release an album that did chart on any of the, Billboard blah blah stuff?
Yes.
What the hell? What the hell? Why is everyone trying to do that to me?
Actually, my feet are on the other side of the table, dude. There's a barrier in between us.
My legs aren't that long.
All right, so this is how it goes. My band, Devil's Apocalypse, we made an album. We printed the labels on my friend's mom's computer. Our middle school had a Billboard chart, and we were on it.
Actually, here's a point there. It does count in a way or form.
How long ago did you release it?
Middle school!
Which that was 20 years, so...
I'm 25... I'm 3 weeks away from 25.
Which means you
graduated high school 7 years ago.
Nope, and you would not have been eligible because you need to have released the album 25 years ago.
Dude, I turned 25 in 3 weeks.
You turned 25, but the album didn't turn 25.
But, oddly enough, I'm on it. I was 1 year old when I released my first CD, Gaga Blues.
Which it was flattened. Weird because Lady Gaga wasn't released back then.
Now she's so
young.
Go, 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 go.
Gaga, ra, la, 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 Gaga, ra, la, la, la.
I did an album with Johnny Cash.
Bullshit, dude.
No, my brother's name is Johnny. He actually stole my dad's money and I was screaming. That's an album. Johnny Cash.
My brother's name is Johnny. He always stole my money.
Does that count? Wait, I'm still not 25 though.
I get a feeling this is not improv. I didn't get a feeling they had this plan beforehand because that was kind of worked too perfectly.
No,
this was improv. This is how well we work together. Well, we've been doing this
show for
2 years.
Why does it say it on the page? Singing lyrics to song.
What?
No, there's not.
He just printed that out. Well, you were sitting here.
So anyway.
Your feces on there now.
I crapped on it, okay? I really had to go.
Okay, so.
All right, let's see if we agree or disagree with anybody.
We've got the nominees announced. I think they narrow it down to either 6 or 7. We've got the Beastie Boys.
Yes.
We've got The Cure.
Yes.
Donovan.
Yeah.
Eric B. and Rakim, I think.
No.
Guns N' Roses.
Yes. Yeah.
Heart.
Yeah.
Joan Jett and the Blackhearts.
Yes.
Yeah, that can work.
Freddie King.
Yeah.
Laura Nyro. Mm. Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yes.
Rufus with Chaka Khan. Chaka Khan.
No.
The Small Faces. The Faces, which was Rod Stewart's band.
Yes.
The Spinners. Donna Summer.
Yes.
And War.
Yes.
Okay. So, Locke, 80, out of all these bands, because I know you know some of them, who do you think deserves to go in there?
Honestly, even though I was going to say Guns N' Roses, but after you said who deserves, Slash, yeah. But Axl, after hearing all his issues, not really. The Red Hot Chili Peppers actually did make it pretty far when they're doing The Cure, Cure yes. also, Beastie Boys also. War, I gotta say, is up there with them.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's a hard choice, because a lot of those bands deserve to be where they are at this point.
I'm surprised that you didn't mention Joan Jett and the Black Hearts.
Oh, no, yeah, Durham, stupid. Joan Jett, actually, 80 can agree here, at the time when she did her music, she had a fight to be where she was.
Yeah.
She had to prove that women can rock as hard as guys do.
So I'm going to say Joan Jett basically probably deserves out of all of them. I would say Red Hot Chili Peppers because of their style and the way they play. And come on, Flea actually played with a injured jaw at one point. Like, he's not a singer, but the pain he had to go through.
Yep.
And? It's not like he was a singer.
No, but the fact is, it's concentrated on playing bass. His bass is pretty incredible.
I do my job with an injured jaw from fighting, and I have to talk to people.
And that's why Axl Rose doesn't count in the scenario, because he would smoke and drink, and I heard he actually canceled a couple of his concerts because of that fact.
Yep. I don't want to go on. I'm watching the baseball game. Which literally actually happened.
No.
And then you got Red Hot Chili Peppers, who created one of like the most epic gimmicks ever, the cock sock.
Look, I get my one that I think, you know, deserves to be in there.
Which one?
We have to fight! For our right to be in the Hall of Fame!
Beastie Boys really took rap and hip-hop and transformed it into an art form.
They also were white. Can't forget that part.
Exactly.
They proved that white people can also rap.
I remember watching the story about them, but how when they would tour with
the Rat Rule,
Run-DMC, how they would be booed off stage mainly because they were Caucasian. And Jewish.
Two, like, strikes against them.
Yeah. But when Paul's Boutique came out, a lot of people didn't feel what they were doing. But they were basically doing things decades ahead of what Beck would be doing with, like, Odelay and what a lot of rappers these days do. They made it a true art form. Not to mention, had it not been for the Beastie Boys, gangsta rap would never have existed, because NWA would practice their own stuff by rapping over Beastie Boys.
But isn't gangster rap the worst case scenario?
No. Actually, think of Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg.
Okay, you have a point there.
Eminem.
Yeah, Eminem, Ice Cube, Ice-T.
Ice Cream.
Oh, I love Ice Cream.
Ice Cream's the best. They should be nominated.
But Joan Jett's honestly the best one out of all of them.
And I agree. And I think this is the first time that she's been nominated. And it's been long overdue.
She won't get in.
I hope she does, because a lot of the songs she's done are some of the bigger songs I ever heard.
Bad Reputation, I Love Rock and Roll.
That's one of the biggest ones right there. Her version.
Yes.
More known than the actual original version.
Yes. And then you can't forget about the stuff that she did when she was with the Runaways.
Good movie, by the way.
Yeah.
Great, yeah. Prove that Kristen Stewart can actually act.
Oh! Yeah.
Hey, listen, just because, you know, she sits there and makes out with half-naked vampires and, you know, werewolves, doesn't mean that's not acting.
And I'm sorry, I can't look at Dakota Fanning anymore the same way after that movie.
Yeah. But The Runaways, yeah, that's a good example right there. All the hardships had to go through, but given every single band on the list probably went through similar hardships. Yep. Like Beastie Boys, for example.
She was younger.
She was younger. She was a lot younger.
She was a teenager when the Runaways started. They all were teenagers. It's just amazing that she hasn't been nominated and put in yet. I've been to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They have, like, a place where her guitars are, yet she's not officially in there.
I don't think she deserves it.
Who do you think deserves it?
I just said.
Okay, how about a female rocker that you think deserves it?
More so than Joan Jett.
Because she really paved the way.
So you can't think of any of that.
Well, he said rocker. That's the hard part.
Okay, give me anything. If that makes it more easier for
you. Janis Joplin.
Janis Joplin's already in there.
Yeah. I know, but I'm just saying in general, she deserves to be there.
But no, someone that isn't in there already that deserves to be there. I mean, think of what Joan Jett has done.
Aaliyah.
No.
That's kind of like a touchy subject, because she she was pretty new. Still,
but she still did a lot with music, and her acting was phenomenal.
She did do it, but then again, it has been 25 years. Maybe when 25 years hit, she probably will be allowed in.
TLC.
Go chasing.
But 25 years? No, it has.
No, no, I'm just saying in general.
In a few years, it's going to be 25.
No, it's not.
I mean, look at Nirvana when they're going to come around, but that's a different story. But
TLC, maybe.
But think of what Joan Jett has done. If there wasn't a Joan Jett.
She kind of paved the way for all the women that are currently in there.
I mean, look at Sick of Sarah, Vanity Theft, Hunter Valentine, who I think are one of the best bands on the planet.
You're flipping me off.
No, I'm not flipping you off.
You just went...
I'm counting them off. But think of all the female rock bands out there. Not just in America, but think of Japan, too. Like Shonen Knife, Noodles... All these old girl bands would never have happened.
Noodles.
Had Joan Jett and the Runaways not existed.
Actually, oddly enough, I gotta say this. In my opinion, a lot of the girl bands still don't get the respect they deserve. The only way they get the respect is because they kind of give in or look like Hannah Montana and stuff like that. And that's still not a girl band.
They cheat.
That's still not a girl band because they have guy members.
Right.
Like, full girl bands don't really hit it like they should. And you can agree with me, AD, on this one. Like, you know, like, you hear all the bigger bands, like for example, Metallica, and yes. New bands that come out, like, when Panda Disco came out, they basically went up there pretty quickly, but then again, they got lucky.
They jumped on Fall Out Boy's fame.
But if you look at, like, some of the girl bands that are out there now, like, there's one called, wow, it's a weird name. It's like something about Care Bears on fire.
Care Bears on fire, but they're all like 14.
Yeah, but that's where basically where Joan Jett and the Runaways started. Yeah. Almost, they're on the same age.
Yeah.
But they have a totally different style, but they're not going as quickly. Their style is similar to like punk meets like Hannah Montana almost.
Right.
Yeah.
But they're not hitting it as hard because they're not respected like all male bands are. Like, it's still, women are still not being respected like they should.
And they can play really well for 13.
And that's why I keep mentioning artists like Sick of Sarah, yeah, and Hunter Valentine is one, like I said, one of my absolute favorite bands.
Even Girl Lee Sinner bands are still not respected as they should.
Yeah.
Like, for Love and War, that came... Love and War were called Stallions War originally, and... They came around the same time as the people. If people know who they are, Aiden. They did a CD with Aiden. They released a double CD. There was Aiden's songs and their songs. But Aiden got picked up, but they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And they
now Aiden's the one that was led by Jonathan Davis's half brother, correct?
No, I don't think so. The lead singer of that was William Control. If I lost, I'm completely wrong here.
Aiden.
William Francis.
William Will Francis, yes.
Is that his half-brother?
I can't...
No, it was...
No, I might be thinking of someone else.
But the band they did a lot of stuff with was In Love and War, and they haven't... I think they might have broke up at this point, because they haven't made it much further.
I know we've been trying to think of other all-girl bands and all these other things regarding Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nominees... The list is going to be split down like...
How many people are going to actually be allowed?
Six or seven.
No, so they're going to be six or seven being inducted.
Inducted.
And some of these people that are currently in the vote...
Yes.
They might not make it.
Right.
So
I mean, look, think of how long it took like Alice Cooper and Iggy Pop and the Stooges to be nominated and put in
but
there.
Look at Alice Cooper himself. His style is completely different. And a lot of people don't respect him because of the fact that he kind of was a horror kind of
But he guy. Started it.
Yeah, he... Technically. He did, yes. But we also have the Misfits in that scenario.
Yeah, but Misfits didn't come until 10 years later.
That is true.
And then you got Iggy Pop, who practically started the punk rock movement with MC5.
That's a long time.
40 years it took for them to finally be nominated and put it in there. But... If I were to put money on this, I would say for whoever's going to be going in there, I would say Beastie Boys, The Cure, Joan Jett, Red Hot Chili Peppers.
War. You got to say
War. Donna Summer, because she keeps being nominated. And I would say The Small Faces, because it's got Rod Stewart.
As you realize, in that list, Guns N' Roses wasn't in it.
Yes.
Slash deserves to be in it. the members themselves deserve to be in it. Because of Axl, it makes it harder.
Right.
So for some reason, I can't respect him as I should.
Slash is such a talented guitarist.
Oh, man, he's phenomenal.
Axl, I love his voice and everything, but I can't respect him as much as I should. It's because I feel like he doesn't respect his fans. I could be wrong. He might respect him in reality, but he has to put on this persona where he's a total asshole.
Now, before we move on, I do want to ask. You said Donna Summer, right?
Yes.
What's one of your favorite songs by Donna Summer? Come on.
Let's see. I Will Survive.
I gotta say, that's the only song I can think of off the top of my head.
All right, see, I got one that I like even better than Survive. MacArthur Park.
That's right. MacArthur Park is frightening. Oh, I think of Jurassic Park right
yeah.
now.
But,
Can you pull up a quick clip of that?
You actually have a point there. Like, that I didn't expect you to actually say that. By the way,
MacArthur Park?
No, Donna Summers in general.
Oh, I like Donna Summers. I like a lot of old music, and a lot of people don't realize that about me. They think I'm just, you know, heavy metal, punk metal.
I've known you so long that I did not know that.
Yeah.
A lot of my friends don't even know that. If you look at my phone, I got a lot of Johnny Cash and Bill Withers and... Mm-hmm. What? Ain't No Sunshine.
But you have rock.
And then I got Kid Rock on here.
He's weird. I like some of his music, but...
I got Cowboy... All Summer Long, and American Badass.
Like, I can listen to his music, but for some reason, I feel like he was still the one of those people that rode the fame of somebody else. Because I know he worked with ICP.
He never worked with ICP.
He actually did, supposedly. There was a scenario where he actually he asked me on one of their CDs, and he had a small, tiny part with somebody else. I forget their name. He was with Shisham or something like that.
Yeah.
But
well, it's weird because Eminem and Kid Rock. Eminem was the reason why Kid Rock was the reason why Eminem got so big, because Eminem showed up on his song "Fuck Off" on "Devil Without a Cause."
Did not know that actually.
The Devil Without a Cause. All right. So,
Kid Rock has done something with ICP. That's just Jack White now.
But I heard that's actually a decent song. A lot. Who's the one that said it? You were the one.
Yes. Right? Kid Rock. No. Insane Clown Posse collaborated with Jack White, which was shocking. Even more shocking was that the song was good.
Because that proves that Jack White can just do anything.
Yeah.
All right. So we're running low on time.
Okay.
Move on.
Let's talk about the demo that myself, AD, and Elva... Anvil did.
I refuse to play it.
Excuse me, I deny ever trying this game. He's just trying to, you know, put my name out there because he thinks it's funny. Did anybody in this room see me do the demo?
Honestly, we haven't, but...
See?
Knowing us, when we weren't here, you're all going...
The game that we're talking about...
See?
It's called Sesame Street Once Upon a Monster, and this is something that I got to try out at E3.
Everyone just did a facepalm when you said that, by the way. All your viewers are just going to facepalm.
Yep. The shocking thing is, Tim Schafer, who did Brutal Legend, Trenched, Stacking, Full Throttle, a bunch of other really big adult-oriented games, made this game with Sesame Street.
Allegedly.
Nope. It's not allegedly. It's fact.
Allegedly.
So, the game is told in a storybook fashion. You control Elmo and Cookie Monster through 6 chapters, each one helping out a new monster with his or her problem. And in the demo of this, it features 2 levels from one of the monster's chapters. And you have to do, like, dance moves and poses in order to earn as many stars as you can. Now, AD, how did you feel about this game?
It was so fun.
She went into evil voice mode. Should I be scared?
No, it's fine. This happens all the time.
So, yeah.
Give me that.
What did you enjoy most about this?
Well, I play, like, a lot of the dance games for the Wii.
Yeah.
So, it was kind of like that, but a little easier because I'm not very good at the dance games. And it was a lot of fun when Anvil put on headbanging music. When I did it.
But did you enjoy, like, how did you like the graphics of this game? Because I was really happy with how much detail they put into it. Like, when you see Cookie Monster talk, you see his googly eyes actually bouncing up and down like the actual Muppet does.
Yeah. I kept forgetting it was a game. I thought I was watching the show. Not that I still watch the show.
Lies. Lies. By the way, Big Bird's friend
Snuffy
was actually imaginary originally, and me and her had an argument about it. Then I looked it up, and she was right. Then I was also right, because later on they made him an official character that wasn't imaginary anymore.
Because they thought it would be bad to teach children that imaginary people were
real. Actually, they explained why they made it so you can actually see them. Well, the reason is because they were worried that a lot of kids were not telling their parents the truth, because when Big Bro would tell the truth, say the truth about Snuffy, everyone would say, "You're lying." So kids felt that they couldn't tell the truth if, say, a pedophile touched them. Or somebody at the schoolyard touched
really
them.
We're going down this path.
No, literally, that's the reason
this
why
is the
they
family
made
family program.
No, this is literally why they made Snuffy
real.
My family
listens to this. My 17-month-old nephew climbs out of his crib and puts a show on.
Tell your parents the truth. Do not lie to them. There you go. That's the moral of the story. That's why they made Snuffy a real character, not imaginary. He was originally supposed to say right. imaginary.
I'm going
to
put it like this. My 17-month-old nephew climbs out of his crib and listens to the show. All right? Sad part is, I brought him around Locke. My nephew's taller, stronger, and faster than Locke.
I doubt that. We all doubt that. Everybody's shaking their head right now. Just because of the fact is, Anvil is known to exaggerate.
What?
Greatly.
That my nephew's that huge? Actually, he is quite tall.
I don't doubt that, because a lot of kids these days are being a lot taller.
He'll probably actually come up to your belly button at like 17 months old.
I don't doubt that. In some way or form, I kind of believe that.
Okay, but the strength?
The
definitely.
Strength. No, I don't believe the strength.
Mm-hmm. Dude. He exaggerates a lot, yes.
He actually punched, like, hit
I
my brother.
I talked to a lot of his exes.
Really? You wish you talked to a lot of my exes.
Low blow, 5 times.
Because I believe it's one of my exes that you drool over on a regular basis.
So yeah, back to this game. When I went and played this at E3, I had a little bit of an issue with the controls because it was really difficult with people walking around in front of the screen with it being so crazy at the convention. So I was really happy to see that in this demo, the controls were acting perfectly. It measured all your movements, and it did a phenomenal job with knowing what you were doing. Like, it was measured. Didn't you notice, like, how it knew, like, you weren't doing the movements properly?
Yeah.
Because if you noticed, when you were doing everything properly, like, more fireflies would be coming out.
Yeah.
And she likes shiny, sparkly things.
Especially when she's listening to heavy rock.
Yeah.
And this looks like it's going to be a good game to play with your kids on rainy days. Like, you're supposed to promote your kids to go outside and play. This is definitely a rainy day game title that you're going to be able to
Or when the duck play. Can't go to sleep, he'll sit up there and play and talk to Elmo. I love you, Elmo, and Cookie Monster, you want some cookies? Okay, you don't want to
Cookie Monster's the monster. Anyone denies that fact is as rotten a liar as Oscar the Grouch is smelly.
That's never proven.
Dude, I am the true Cookie Monster.
C's for cookie.
He's blue, though.
Yeah. And my eyes Google it.
Dude, I definitely eat more cookies a year than you do.
That's probably true.
Yeah.
That wasn't a joke on his height or bulk muscle.
I just love double stuffed Oreos.
Oh my god, those are addictive.
Have you ever seen? Okay, have you seen the triple stuff?
I don't like them.
You don't like the triple stuff?
No. The chocolate becomes overpowering because you have one layer of regular cream, three cookies, and a layer of chocolate cream. You get overpowered by the chocolate.
Mm.
I can say that actually.
But I can sit there with a couple of containers of double stuffed Oreos and a gallon of milk, and you won't hear from me. Oh, and a bottle of strawberry syrup.
let's move on to
he's like, let's not talk about Anvil.
Let's give a final grade for this demo. I give it a 4.7 out of 5, and I'm really happy with this game. Tim Schafer has never failed on anything he's ever done.
I didn't play it, but I'm gonna give it a 2.5 out of 5.
Well, you need to see it from a family perspective. Say you've had a kid, which, knowing from your adventures,
never will happen.
Okay, 80.
But
what do you get for a grade out of 5?
5.
You give it a 5?
Any Muppet game is in my heart forever.
Are you happy about the upcoming Muppet movie that's coming out?
Yes.
It's been canceled, by the way.
No!
No, we're going to... I think we all have to go see that.
Yes, we do.
You know, if I have to, if they tell me it's sold out, I will put you in my pocket so that way you can sneak in.
Thank you. I'd appreciate that very much.
You're welcome.
Watch out, there's other people in there with you. They were getting kind of hungry, though.
No, I'll put you in the empty pocket.
Thank you.
Okay, and I'll give you food.
Anvil, what's your grade?
Potato.
Which is Irish for awesome.
Whoa, wait. Whoa,
that was like racist.
Listen, Frenchie. Why don't you wave your white flag and surrender? I think I just saw a mouse run across the country.
I think the show just hit a new low.
No, we've had much lower lows.
Yeah.
So what's your grade on it?
Potato. You're never going to get me to give a good grade to a game like this. So you don't want my opinion.
So that's a low grade to say.
Fine. So I refuse to give one.
Fine, okay. Give it a one. All right, okay. I understand now. The Irish grade goes from potato to Guinness.
No, that works. That
potato to Guinness. I would say it goes from potato, Lucky Charms.
Lucky Charms are higher up.
Okay, fine. Potato. Oh, I have a better one.
Goat.
British food, potato, Lucky Charms, Guinness.
Where's the fifth one?
Okay, what should be the third? No. What should be?
Haggis should be in there.
Haggis should be third.
Oh, that is good. He is right. But I'm both. Scottish.
All right, here we go. Mixed. It goes British food.
Potato.
Potato, Lucky Charms, Guinness, and whiskey.
What kind of whiskey, though?
True Irish whiskey.
All right.
From a barrel. Not a sterilizing machine.
Okay.
I'm talking.
Fair enough. We should try to do that in a video review. Have Amo just go, I give this
a whiskey. I give it British food.
All right. So
he must have eaten that British food off that one.
So let's move on to Dead Island. Now, I did a written review about Dead Island on the website. Gave it a 9.5 out of 10. One of the best games I've played so far this year. Luck, Anvil, it's now time for you to talk about it.
Oh my god, it was fucking amazing. They literally dragged me away. Like, kicking and screaming. Because I didn't want to stop playing. It was amazing.
The reason I think he liked it so much is the fact that it was so free range that you can literally kill the enemies with almost any weapon that you had.
Yep.
And you can still kick them after they're dead. They don't just disappear.
Yeah, I love the ones where, I'd like knock them down, I'd sit there and kick them, and you'd hear their spine break, and it's like, break. It's like, mm-hmm. Or you'd smack them like a boat paddle, and you see the leg break or their arm break. It's like, got you. And the guy that I was using, Logan, I could actually hurl the boat paddle and get stuck inside their flesh. It was hilarious.
The best part was we all cracked up when he threw all his weapons, all his knives. All of a sudden, he throws the plank at him. All he hears is, ow!
I'm like, hey, I just hit this guy with like five knives and he died from a piece of wood?
The best part, we saw a break over the guy's head and he just falls
over. Well, the hell is it? It's plank from Ed and Eddie. That plank has always been an awesome plank.
Yeah, but then you have that weak little twig. I'm sitting there smacking people with twigs, and I'm like, I just killed a zombie with a twig.
See, what I liked about the game is that, like, what he enjoys is the fact that it's so free range that you don't have to stay on the main quest. You can do side quests. It's like almost playing Fallout, Bioshock, and many other games all mixed together because you have a kick ability. You can run. You can kind of shank. You can shank. That's what you're shanking everything.
Yo, actually, I found it funny that you guys were laughing. I'm like, yo, I'm gonna get somebody prison style. And like a second later, come around the corner, I'm just like stabbing in the back. And you guys were laughing harder than me.
It was funny because the way you're acting. Oh, but one of the best parts is the upgrades.
Yes,
the upgrades are the best part of that of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta say, I bought this game because of the fact that I knew I was gonna get the weapon called the Ripper.
Yep.
And yeah. I was originally there for the computer, and I kind of wish I still did because I can do all my hacking to get all the special weapons at the beginning of the game.
Shh, don't talk about that still on the show.
Mm-hmm. Hacking. I'm kidding. Mm-hmm. Maybe. But we got it for the PC because my brother wanted to play it. Not PC, I'm in the Xbox because he wanted to play it. And I bring it over to my friend's houses now and play a lot.
Yeah, you see, for the most part, I go for the Xbox version because most of my friends are on there. I have all three systems, but I would only go for a PS3 if I knew it was a better version.
Like, I heard Portal actually does a lot better on PS3 than on the Xbox.
I might actually be buying this video game for be the first video game I've bought in forever.
Even though he doesn't have a system?
My brother does.
Oh,
yeah. I will literally steal everybody my brother's system, buy, you know, Eminent Domain. Hey, you look a little...
No, I was like, really? But,
Go on.
No, I was going to say, I'm sure you have stuff to add to that.
Well, with saying that almost everyone has an Xbox, it's interesting to hear how Comcast and Verizon are going to now offer their cable services and on-demand stuff on the Xbox 360. So now instead of using your regular cable box, you just use the Xbox 360 to watch all your shows in high definition.
I have to say, I want to leave video games for a second to say this. It irritates me that Comcast personally doesn't have Chiller or FairNet. They have FairNet on demand, but they don't have Chiller on demand either. And I love the fact that Chiller and FairNet both show horror movies all the time. I'm a big horror fan.
Yeah. No, really?
Oh, yes. That's why you see all the Vagabond videos in the future that can do a lot more horror issues.
Well, I mean, awesome. You and me have done a lot of horror stuff.
Yeah, all we did when we filmed were horror movies.
And hopefully soon, like we've mentioned, you know, we'll be doing some more horror work.
Yes, which is hopefully going to happen when I have time to sit. Now I'm going to have time to sit down.
Yes.
And truthfully, but that bothers me.
It's not me walking around naked, people.
Don't worry.
But it's Blonix mom walking around naked.
Chiller and FairNet both should be on Comcast. So for those that have Comcast, vote for it.
Wow.
I clearly avoided that purposely, by the way.
Oh, Andrew! Oh, Andrew!
Has she listened to the show?
Nope.
Whoops! I dropped something!
We think we lost Ant for the rest of the show.
Yes.
But, what grade do you give this?
Well, I gave Dead Island a 9.5 out of 10, so that's probably divided by 4.5. More close to 4.75 out of 5.
I give it a 5 out of 5. Well, actually, no, I give it about the same grade as you, because it does have its flaws. It should be more open, like you should be able to go into every room and go into everything or do even more side quests.
And perhaps the storyline could have been a little bit more original.
Yeah, I find myself skipping the storyline more. Like, I felt the storyline wasn't as important as it should have been. Uh-huh. Like, in Fallout, I could actually listen to the storyline more.
Yep.
And Bioshock.
I give it a 5.
That's Anvil.
But I got to kill zombies, and one of them looked like Blue's mom. Except not as big.
Mm-hmm. Actually, there are some pretty big zombies later in the game.
Oh, yeah, especially the one in the straight jacket. That bitch keeps ramming me like crazy.
Whoa!
Found ways to avoid it and beat
there
it quicker.
There you go, duck. Getting yourself some ramming action. Go on
a car. It can't get you. Yeah. It actually avoids you. It actually doesn't know you're there anymore. You can actually kill it from the car.
Oh, cool.
Katie?
Well, I was just watching you play it.
Yeah, but you still go, you can give like a slight review on it. What do you?
I give it like a 4.5. I wouldn't give it a complete 5, though.
Okay. Yeah, it did have a bunch of flaws that should be fixed.
But I feel like it gave us what we really wanted in titles like Left 4 Dead and Dead Rising.
It felt like it was a mixture of them.
I do have one thing that made me laugh. There was a beach ball. I stabbed it several times and nothing happened. I kicked it and it blew up.
Oh, by the way, its achievements were actually really... There's some of the achievements they used in the game were pretty good.
And hilarious, too.
Yeah.
Like when you have four players online, it's called Ooh, How Original.
That made me laugh.
Yeah. Okay, I think we're just about ready to wrap up this episode. I did have one other thing, but I think I'm going to do it as a written review, seeing as I've bought the full game of it.
Lawyer!
So, remember, visit our website at bostonbassbrigade.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew. If you have any comments, questions, anything you want us to talk about, you can reach us at thebastardofbostonbashbrigade.com. I'm on Twitter at king_baby_duck, and Anvil is on there at anvil63.
Liar.
We have a Facebook page. We have a Facebook group. We have MySpace, but we don't go on MySpace anymore.
No one does.
No one does.
I do. I'm just trying to figure out how to get my pictures over to Facebook so I can delete it.
That's your cue, Anvil.
Check out our friends at the Electric Sisterhood at esh.mobi. Go show them some love, along with Geek Gagro, The Issues Guy, JC Sargent, The Vagabonds, Matt the Wad, Duck Eats the Wad, K Cage Titans at CageTitanFC.com, Richo Photography, Team Produlce Ray. Also, check out our friend Ricardo George's pro debut November 12th at the Songus Arena, fighting for Victory Promotions. Go online, get your tickets. It's going to be a great fight card. And go Team Produlce Ray.
All right, Vagabonds, your turn to promote.
Beep. Oh, I'm kidding. You can find us at vagabondsteam.net. On Facebook, it's The Vagabonds. And you can find us on YouTube at Lock Valor. Basically, that's it. And Valor spelled V-A-L-O-R. Not
Lock. Lock is spelled with an E.
Oh, yeah. L-O-C-K-E-V-A-L-O-R. This information will be probably posted when this is released, too. No, it won't.
No. We're not going to give them anything.
Oh, thanks.
We're going to give you plenty.
The email also, if you want to contact us, it's contact@vagabondsteam.net.
And go comment on Edie's first vlog. It's awesome.
On her what?
Her vlog.
Yes, we do vlogs.
Sorry, you said vlog.
Vlog.
Vlog the Impaler.
The Vagavlog.
Vagavlog.
The Vagavlog.
It works.
Yeah.
Vagavlog.
Yes, Edie tells very cool stories about her misadventures.
With pictures. And pictures.
Yes.
Crayons.
Ooh, do you color in the lines?
No.
Okay, good. So that's the only, you know, weird people color in the lines.
Yeah.
Like the duck.
What?
He colors in the lines.
How dare you.
And Locke does, too.
It was first therapy. I was supposed to. I was 5.
That was 24. I mean, 4.
Okay.
I still don't color in the lines. I take one color and color the whole page I color.
Red.
Red boom. Red boom.
So, let's take a fork in it. Until next time, this is King Baby Duck.
This is Angel.
Nah.
Saying sayonara, bitches.
We are the Bastards.
And the Vagabonds.
Angel, I tried something again!
Angel, where are you going? Put down that chair!